In sub-Saharan Africa, the AIDS epidemic has become intertwined with the tuberculosis epidemic. Each disease is making the other worse. In the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, for example, TB cases have increased sevenfold over the past decade. Today, there's more TB in that city of 3 million than in the entire United States. As NPR's Richard Harris reports from Nairobi, people are trying to find ways to fight both diseases simultaneously.
People who live in the poor Nairobi neighborhood of Eastleigh make the most of the little they have just to get by. Francesca Owino helps support a household of 21, including her 13 brothers and sisters. She buys bottles of cooking oil and soap from the market and sells dollops to neighbors who can't afford to buy a whole bottle. But what's most remarkable is what she does strictly as a volunteer through her Catholic church group. Every morning and every evening, 7 days a week, she tromps through her neighborhood to visit people who are sick with TB, HIV, and other diseases, to make sure they've taken their pills, to offer comfort, and frankly, to see whether they're still hanging on to life.
Hodi! Hodi!
Francesca, as everyone calls her, is part busybody, part saint, and relentlessly cheerful. She barrels through a door in the back of one courtyard into a dark room overstuffed with furniture. A thin, sad-faced woman is half-hiding behind a piece of fabric that drapes from the ceiling across her bed.
Nzuri, now this is my patient. Her name is Rhoda. Now, Rhoda is my TB patient since last year. When was it, October?
October.
Yes. She has finished her drugs, but now she's still not feeling fine.
Rhoda says she still has pains in her chest. Her digestive system is shut down for the past 3 days. She has night sweats, and it's a struggle simply to eat.
I'm a hairdresser. When I finished my TB medication, I wanted to go back to work, but I still have no energy. Once I get some more energy, I'll go back to work.
Francesca listens carefully to Rhoda's latest litany of ills and offers hope and reassurance.
For today, I get you the painkillers and something to make you go to the toilet. So maybe that is all. Feed well, just be cheerful. He says the Lord is there.
Clearly, TB isn't the whole story with Rhoda's illness. In this city, about half of the people who have TB got sick because they were also infected with HIV, which has ravaged their immune systems. Outside, Francesca says she has no idea whether Rhoda has been tested for HIV.
Because it has to be voluntary. So if I tell her, can you go for testing, that will not be right.
Would you suggest it to her?
I wouldn't. No, we don't.
HIV isn't simply a medical issue, it's a social one, not only here, but in most of the world. Francesca pushes the issue farther than most people in Kenya. She even wears a red ribbon pinned to her clothes to advocate celibacy in the face of AIDS. But the subject of HIV remains largely taboo.
So now we shall cross the road.
Francesca heads toward St. Vincent's Clinic, her base of operation. There, she reports her impressions and observations to the nurses who actually oversee the care of her patients. St. Vincent's Clinic is trying something new in Africa. Instead of treating HIV and TB as separate diseases, the clinic is trying to combine care for both under one roof. Patients who get HIV tests are encouraged to get tested for TB and get treatment if necessary. HIV-positive people who don't have TB will be offered something new, drugs to prevent that disease. This is a pilot project funded by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Kevin DeCock, who runs the CDC's operations in Kenya from an office across town, says he started this program because it's clear that standard TB control programs are failing in the face of HIV. He's seeking new ideas to apply throughout Africa. It's not clear what will succeed.
The facile answer is you need to control HIV. That's the bottom line. And until we control HIV, we face serious problems.
Controlling HIV could ultimately mean providing drugs to hold the virus in check. A massive program like that is a daunting prospect for Africa, but the TB programs have set an example. They have already developed nationwide networks for distributing daily medications. But Dr. De Kock says expanding that strategy to HIV is not as simple as it sounds.
TB therapy is 6 to 8 months, and then you let patients go. AIDS therapy is for life. The TB structures that are already bursting at the seams could not cope with an influx of a large number of patients, many of whom will not have tuberculosis, and who basically have to stay in the system for life. That isn't going to work.
Even combined facilities, like the St. Vincent's Clinic, create new problems.
The last thing you want HIV-infected people to be doing is hanging around tuberculosis clinics with other people coughing.
Finally, public resistance to HIV testing is a huge impediment, Dr. De Kock says. People who are HIV positive could help themselves by seeking care, and people who are HIV negative could easily take steps to keep themselves free of the disease. But even at the St. Vincent's Clinic, where the goal is to combine TB and HIV care, fewer than half the TB patients agree to take an HIV test. Back out in the neighborhood of Eastleigh, Francesca heads to the apartment of a young woman who has benefited from this new way of thinking about TB and HIV together.
Here's my former patient, Sasa Janila.
Novella Janila, her hair pulled back neatly, is dressed in a blue suit. She lives in a tiny one-room home, barely big enough for a bunk bed she shares with her mother and her brother. Running water is in the courtyard. She offers us two chairs beneath the room's single window.
She wants to serve us some tea.
Janila is Francesca's favorite success story.
I was very afraid. People say that if you have TB, maybe you have HIV. When Francesca told me TB is curable, I got hopes.
Did you think about taking an HIV test?
Yes. Then I decided to check for the HIV, but I was negative. I felt very good.
And now her morals have changed. She was not of good morals. I'm saying it in front of her, she wasn't. She would jump with anyone in bed as long as she could buy her packet of chips. But now that has changed, hasn't it?
Yes.
Having survived her bout with TB and now taking care not to become infected with HIV, Janila has gone back to vocational school to learn how to operate and program computers. Francesca says success stories like this are all too rare.
We are losing very many people, very many prominent people in our society. For a girl like this, Janila, who is just 22, if we lose her, all the money that has gone into her education is all a waste. So now we'll take a left corner.
Once Francesca finishes her tea, she presses on to continue checking on her fragile patients through streets as neglected as the people who live in them.
These dusty roads you see were once tarmacked roads.
What happened to the pavement?
You see, it requires maintenance. So you don't maintain anything, even your own dress. It wears out.
She dodges across the road in front of a bus, then ducks through a low doorway into a courtyard.
Hodi, hodi, hapa. Hodi.
But this time, her patient is not here to greet her. Instead, the woman's daughter meets Francesca. The patient's illness had been getting steadily worse, so finally, concerned family members came from their distant village to take over.
I think it was more than TB, just didn't confirm. So she's gone. Now they took her home yesterday.
People prefer to be buried in their villages rather than in the paupers' graves of Nairobi, she explains. Again, Francesca doesn't know whether HIV is to blame. The woman didn't want to be tested. As for the daughter, she will try to stay on with the help of an uncle who lives nearby.
She helps in peeling potatoes in some hotel over somewhere here, which gives her a few shillings that can maybe keep her running.
The daughter, who shared this tiny room with her ailing mother, coughs before she disappears through the small doorway and out into the street. Someday soon, Francesca may be back here again. Richard Harris, NPR News, Nairobi. I'm a millionaire.